All right, so hello and welcome back to another episode of The Raven in the Road. Today we have special guest with us, Andy Elliott. So hello and welcome.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Nice. Well, would you want to take a few seconds and just kind of explain like who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm just a country boy that builds guitars. And I don't know how it got started. I've just had a love relationship with guitars since I was young. Even before I could play them, I was mesmerized by them and just loved music and really wanted to do it really bad. And started playing guitar and had a bunch of different guitars, you know, parts guitars, worked on them, put them together, take one guitar and make another guitar, take two or three guitars and make a guitar out of them kind of thing. And then after I started working a job when I was about 12 years old, that don't happen much anymore, but I remember I wanted to buy a Kramer guitar when they first come out. I was a big Eddie Van Halen fan, and I wanted to buy one really bad. And my father told me, said, well, we can't afford to get it for you. You'll just have to get a job and work. And so I did that, and from then on, I kept buying nicer and nicer guitars and got better at playing and played in some bands and just was real involved in music. And then I met a friend of mine, Ken Hoover, that used to own Zion Guitars, and we become pretty close. And he had built several guitars for me, and it got me intrigued about building. Because I got to help do a couple of them, and it just, you know, sparked my interest. And that went on for years, and just didn't think there was any way I could ever do that. And then got into guitar repair, just doing basic refrets and setups and nuts and saddles and stuff like that. And the guy I apprenticed under helped me build a guitar and went on from there. And so then I started realizing, you know, I could do this. And then I spent some money. I went to acoustic building classes and archtop building classes. I wanted to learn about building guitars, but I wanted to learn about wood. And it seemed like the electric schools that I looked into just didn't really put a lot of emphasis on that aspect of it. And so I wanted to learn more about what wood does and the difference between woods exactly. Archtop people are kind of really just fanatical about trying to get a certain type of tone out of a certain type of box. And so I just wanted to learn what their thinking was and behind all that. And acoustic building similar, you know, if you get around a really good builder that knows how to voice a guitar. And so I wanted to learn all that, and with no intentions of building archtops or acoustics, you know, I just wanted to learn about, you know, wood and how it responds to strings vibrating on it. And that's kind of where it went from there. And I've always been a tone guy, you know, in every band I ever played in, I never was the best musician or anything like that, but I always tried to sound really good. And, cause most people don't.
Right.
And, so if you sound really good, whether you're playing really great or not, you're way ahead of everybody. You know, that was my strategy and it worked. And, but because of that, it also, I started realizing what was wrong with a lot of stuff, why it didn't, what sounded good and what didn't sound good. And so I incorporated that in what we do today, you know, a lot of experience and trial and error and tone.
Yeah. That's so cool. And especially how it like snowballs too, you know, cause it didn't go from like 0 to 100, but it was, that's awesome.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, but starting off doing basic repairs.
I'm 57 years old, you know, you got to speak English.
Nice and slow. Man. Well, and I know while I've been here, I mean, I've been able to see some like pretty incredible like people come through this shop. So were there any big like milestones for you personally that you're like, oh my God, like I got to work with?
The first big person I got to work with was Peter Stroud. Mm-hmm. And he's become a really good friend, and he's just been over backwards to help my business and my company, and never asked anything for it really. And that's, I mean, that was just a real blessing for him to come into my life when he did. Mm. And I was always, even before I knew him, he was one of my favorite guitar players out there. And he always did the right thing at the right time. Mm. And so it was just a real huge honor to get to work with him first. And the first big purse, I guess,
right,
big entertainer I ever worked on, I didn't build a guitar for him, but I worked on a couple of his guitars, was Ricky Skaggs. And that was a surreal moment, you know, just, you know, someone you've heard about all your life and listened to, and all of a sudden you got
right in front of you.
Here's two of his guitars right here that, you know, that it was just a neat moment.
What does a normal work day for you look like?
From about 8 to 9:30, 10 o'clock, somewhere around there.
Okay. Nice. Is it like pretty much the same thing every day?
Sometimes I quit at 8:30.
Lots of
dogs. It depends on how much traffic's in the shop. If I have a lot of interruptions, that means I have to work longer that day.
Because
I have to get something done, right. And because it's a, you know, it's just a 2-man operation, and every minute counts.
So I take it y'all kind of have it organized then. You know, so you're not doing like everything all the time, but it's like really systematic and kind of what you're doing.
We're doing, you've got to do a lot of stuff all the time. Okay. I mean, there's some things we try to organize it, but you know, it's, unless you're running a production line, if I'm the guy sanding bodies, painting bodies, fretting necks, shaping necks,
gotcha,
you're not, it, very seldom do I just get to do one thing.
Right.
I'm usually doing 3, 4, 5, 6 things at one time. And you can make plans, but one thing goes wrong, you can't just send it down the line to someone else. You're the one that has to fix it. So then when you stop to fix that, you just stopped everything.
Gotcha.
That's the bad
of a 2-man
part of not doing it in a production way.
Right.
You know, it's every obstacle costs you a great deal of time. Even if you think it's not a big obstacle, it's still a lot.
Not going to add up. So for people who would be interested kind of getting their feet wet with, you know, whether it's like building or, you know, repairs, things like that, is there anywhere you'd recommend for them to reach out for like internships or?
The guy I went to school with, Finocchio Guitar Works, in Pennsylvania, there's some good schools out there. Texas Toast, them guys has a really good school now. It wasn't available when I first come along, but they seem to put a lot of emphasis in building electric guitars.
Gotcha. Okay. So what would you say, like, go get like the education first before?
Yeah. And you know, if you just want to build them for fun of it, that's the best way to do it. If you're going to get out here in the industry and compete, you've got a lot of obstacles to hurdle, and they're not easy. You can't compete with your major manufacturer.
Right.
They build guitars for less money than you can ever build a guitar for. And so therefore they make a bigger profit margin. And, you know, they buy tractor trailer loads of wood where you're buying one piece of wood. They've got a fraction in what their cost of building the guitar compared to yours is. And so you're not going to compete financially, price-wise or anything else. And if you try to, the only thing you can do is build a crappy guitar. And there's a lot of bad guitars out there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of great guitars out there. There's even more good guitars out there. But there's just a handful of phenomenal guitars out there. So you've got to figure out which one of those areas you want to hit. If you want to build a phenomenal guitar, then you got to know how to build a phenomenal guitar. And you could spend a lifetime learning that if you don't get somewhere and learn. There's a lot of basics you have to learn first. And I see a lot of really skilled luthiers, guitar builders that build really nice guitars, but they don't do great fret work. Your guitar is only as good as it plays.
Right.
I don't care if it's the best sounding guitar in the world. You're not going to enjoy it if you can't play it. Or if it's aggravating to play, it's just not going to be your favorite guitar.
Right.
And you need to build a great guitar, and you need to learn the basics. You need to learn fret work. That's an absolute. If you're going to build guitars, you need to be a master at fret work before you ever even think about building a guitar. You know, need to know how to build nuts and saddles and things like that and do them right. And because that's the basic geometry and moving parts of a guitar. And if they don't move right, then your guitar ain't right. I don't care how pretty it is. Or,
yeah.
I mean, I've bought a lot of guitars that looked really good that it was kind of disappointing in the end.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've always really appreciated. And I remember coming back here in my younger years and, man, this crazy, you know, Southern, you know, guy with the OCD. And I was like, oh, you know, he's just so specific with everything. But like the older I've gotten, I'm like, wow, but like, you just don't see that anywhere else. And so now, especially when I go to even play other guitars, I'm like, I mean, just like what you're saying, it looks nice, but you know, it kind of plays like a $250 Epiphone. And yeah, I feel like y'all have done a really good job, especially with kind of finding that hole. So especially, you know, with it being, you know, tone and like filling that, because I feel like so many people, you know, it's all looks. It's more of an artwork based kind of thing. Than playability and sound.
And it's that way with amps. It's that way with guitars, pickups. You know, so many manufacturers, they just try to recreate old pickups.
Right.
Well, all the old pickups didn't sound great. You know, all 56 Strat pickups didn't sound great.
Right.
There may be a set here and there that's incredible, but you got to chase tone. You've got to set a goal and reach it. And that's what we've done with everything. And that's my dog snoring. But, you know, it's, you have to set a goal, and you have to have the ability and the intelligence and common sense to achieve that goal. Mm-hmm. Part of that's educating yourself, and part of that's experience. And part of that is just a real good heavy dose of common sense and understanding how things works. And that's true in anything you do. Unfortunately, I wished I wasn't as strict on myself as I am, because I could probably make more money, maybe. It's just really hard to build a guitar in a small shop like this and get it out the door in perfect condition. It's almost impossible. And finish wise and everything else. I mean, we're spraying in a woodworking shop with dust everywhere. It's just really a kind of a struggle to do all that, but you have to give it your all.
Yeah. No, I feel like those kind of self-made expectations have really come off. And while I don't know, I've seen people, you know, kind of, you know, some of the price were like, oh, that's kind of expensive for a guitar, but I feel like that also kind of weeds out those, because I mean, that's not your, you know, not everyone's your people kind of thing.
Well, I know people there's people who just want a lot of guitars, and they'll have a lot of cheap guitars, but they don't even really have a great guitar, let alone a phenomenal guitar.
Right.
And, you know, it's not for everyone. I get real tired of people comparing my guitars to other guitars, you got to compare apples to apples.
Right.
You know, if you go to one of the major manufacturers and get a master built guitar, you're going to drop $8,000 to $10,000 for that guitar.
Right.
And what that means, it was built by one person, supposedly, but it probably wasn't all built by one. He probably didn't go make the neck, make the body. He probably was the one person that finished the guitar. And you'll wait 2 years on it and you'll pay $8,000 to $10,000 for it. And then they'll compare my guitar to the regular one you have down here at your local music store for $2,000. And you can't compare those. That's a production made guitar. And we're more like the master built thing, where you've got a lot more personal attention to that guitar from start to finish.
Well, yeah. No, and even kind of going into your thing earlier with, you know, wood and how that reacts is, you know, I remember we had, it was the same slab of wood and it was two tellies off that same piece. It was completely different sounds. You know, just even the grain and the tightness in the grain on one from the other. And yeah, so really stepping out of that kind of one size fits all with building it. Yeah, like a lot of those guys do. Is there any advice that you would offer like your younger self when you were just kind of starting off?
I don't know. I'm an adapting type person. I think they think way too much. You know, I've always had big dreams, and the ones I could act on and do something about, I did. And the ones I couldn't do, I didn't get obsessed with it and just get shut down over it. Like, oh, what am I supposed to do when I grow up? I worked at McDonald's, fish camp, built chicken houses, got my contractor's license, started building houses, worked in factories. I did whatever I had to do to achieve what I wanted to achieve. And I enjoyed all of it. I just meet so many people, not necessarily just young people. Just people are so obsessed. What am I supposed to do? You do whatever you can do. And you set a goal for yourself, and it's got to be realistic. I mean, you can dream way bigger than you can ever do. And you've got to have some common sense in there. And the thing about it is, no matter what you do, you got to enjoy it. One of the best times I ever had working was building chicken out, you know, and it wasn't nothing but hard, bad work and long hours, and you was exhausted when you got home, but had a blast, you know. And I think that's the main thing, is just enjoy what you do, no matter what. It doesn't have, every job you get's not your last job. It's not the end of your life. You know, you're in control of your life, and you can complain about it and be miserable and hate it, and then that's what it'll be in your life. Or you can enjoy it, and it'll be a stepping stone to the next thing. One door closes, another door opens, kind of thing. And that's just the way I've always been toward that. And I think that's because I was always a little handicapped. You know, I didn't graduate high school. I encourage you to do that. I'm a high school dropout, but I'm very educated. I've always bettered myself. And you just got to go out and work hard and do it, and do a great job at whatever you're doing. And what that does is that develops stepping stones. And if you go out and you halfway do it and have a bad attitude toward it, you're not creating stepping stones. You're creating obstacles. You're never going to go past that. So it's all about your attitude. It's all about being a great employee wherever you are, and that allows you to make more money, to work more hours, and to get better jobs.
No, I 100% agree. Where can people go to kind of find out more about you?
Instagram, Elliott Guitars on our website. Honestly, I don't really know. I'm so busy working, I don't even look at any of that stuff.
Blue Ember, gotta help us out.
But I think it is out there, though.
It is. Awesome. Well, thank you again. I really do appreciate it. I know I've been out here for years and years, but definitely learn more, which is really cool. So I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.